Blog Talk Radio.
Well, good afternoon, everyone, and thank you for joining us today on Gold Radio Cafe. It's Friday, April 26, 2013, and welcome to the Gold and Silver Financial Review. My name is Bosco Kacharovich, and this program is brought to you by Central Metals, your gold and silver bullion dealer. Our website is centralmetalscorp.com. Our phone number is 800-649-6722. If anyone is interested in sending an email question, our email is mail@centralmetalscorp.com. We'll start off today with a couple of quotes here. We have silver is trading at $23.69. In the past half an hour, it got hit. It was as high as about $24.50 today, so it's down about almost $1.50 here. And almost a dollar. And we have gold. Gold is at, let me just refresh this chart here. Okay, we have gold at $1,453.45, and we have, let me give you the price for the indexes. We have the S&P is at 1579, it's down 527. The Dow is at 14,702, it's up $1.34. Crude oil is at 92.52, down $1.12. And the U.S. dollar index is down a little bit, down 0.308 at 82.47. So the markets are not that much movement. We have the volatility in gold and silver as usual, and everybody knows the recent correction now. So we're going to make our way over to Calgary here. I believe we have Jeff Dunphy on the line here. Jeff, are you there?
I am indeed, Bosco.
Well, great to hear you again, Jeff. Lots of action going on. The volatility is absolutely unbelievable. Just to let our listeners know, the physical demand from all the warehouses I've been talking to in the past week is just enormous. For gold and silver Maple Leafs, the lead time is 2 to 3 weeks minimum. Many warehouses don't even have stock. They have to wait to have it shipped from the mint. Silver, a lot of places don't even have silver bars available. They're in the refining process, and they're also 2 to 3 weeks out. Gold maples as well are on delay. They're about 2 weeks. So, I mean, from the people that I'm talking to, there's definitely a physical demand that should be driving this market much higher. Jeff, what do you think's going on?
Oh, my, Bosco. Well, as one of my partners used to say, the thick plottins, and yeah. I suspect, as we do the evaluation of these various aspects of the market manipulators, and as we actually see, as you've just said, you cannot get gold and silver now. You cannot get gold or silver coins, and it would appear that you can't even get gold bars now. So this gives us great trepidation on one hand, because it is an upsetting aspect, but it also gives us confirmation that the manipulation of the markets in the paper aspect of the market is very real, and it is unfolding as we suspected it, and as we have already chatted about. Nobody can cover their paper shorts. The market is manipulated, and Bosco, our skepticism, albeit healthy, is now starting to come home to roost. Guess what? The skepticism wasn't skepticism at all. It was merely pragmatics and seeing the world through eyes unclouded by your silliness of we want things to be normal. Bosco, you can't even get, Bosco just said you can't even get gold and silver right now because there's a wait time.
Yeah. No, the warehouses, I spoke to this morning, they're probably the biggest warehouse for, biggest authorized distributor for the Canadian Mint in the U.S. And they have no stock of gold or silver maples, and there's a lead time, 2 to 3 weeks. So they have to wait to get it from the Mint before they could even ship it out.
My goodness.
In the last 3 years, I've never experienced that. I've heard news of silver shortages, it was a couple of years ago, and I talked to my warehouses, and they said, no, there's plenty of silver bars. There was, a short delay on some silver maples, but nothing like what they're experiencing now. And, it's just, I talked to one of the largest refiners, actually, in the world, and they said they don't have any 100-ounce silver bars available right now. They have 1,000-ounce bars and smaller denominations, but 100-ounce silver bars are being swallowed up by everybody.
My goodness. Well, let's climb into some of our archives, our conversational archives, and let's also climb into the globe. Let's also climb into what we've suggested for some time, Bosco and I, ladies and gentlemen, in terms of the manipulation and also in terms of the phrase too big to fail, which was what we coined some of these banks, but also too big to jail. So now an article that has recently come to mind and come to view is in terms of the LIBOR market and the manipulation of it. Now, we've all seen in the last 6, 8, 12, even 12 months, I suspect, Bosco, that LIBOR was manipulated. Now, ladies and gentlemen, the LIBOR market is called London Interbank Offering Rate, and it is a rate that interest rates get paid on generally on overnight on very short-term funds. This is a $500 trillion market. It's absolutely enormous. And recently, what came to light that it was manipulated. Oh my goodness gracious. Doesn't surprise Bosco and I, and certainly it shouldn't surprise you if you've been listening to us for the last little bit. Okay. And lots of people had their knuckles wrapped, Bosco, with the proverbial legal Nerf bat. Give me your knuckles and let me smack you hard with this Nerf bat. And maybe you need to pay $100 million or $300 million or $500 million penalty, but relative to the billions and billions and billions you've earned off this, no big deal. So then, what has recently come to light, Bosco? There's been a class action lawsuit on interest rate swap manipulation. Oh, and guess how big this is, Bosco? $379 billion. Oh. Okay, so the regulators come in and they say, geez, now the interest rate swap, ladies and gentlemen, let me explain this for a moment. You have a mortgage on your house and you have to pay $1,000 a month on the mortgage on your house. And that has an interest rate that, let's say, is variable. So it might go up, it might go down. But you and your wife sit down and say, let's make it so we know what our payments are going to be, rather than what about in 6 months if it goes from 1,000 to, I don't know, 1,500? Well, we don't have that extra $500 a month to pay, so let's fix it. So what you would do is you would swap your variable rate interest for a fixed rate interest. That's what happens with big companies. It's what happens with big money globally. So that is the market, which is called interest rate swaps. And guess what? It's intertwined with the LIBOR market, which is rigged. And now it's coming to light that the interest rate swap market is rigged. Now, Bosco, I don't know what the term for $1,000 trillion is, but this market is $500 trillion for LIBOR and $380 for interest rate swaps. That's almost, color me curious, that's almost $900 trillion. What is the rate for $1,000 trillion, Bosco?
We go into quadrillion?
Good bloody grief. Okay. So now, let me also...
A lot of zeros.
Yeah, no kidding. Let's also put into perspective this. A class action lawsuit was recently, get a load of this, after all these banks went mea culpa, I am culpable, I am I am guilty as charged, but I will pretend not to have done anything wrong. After they all came in and admitted to manipulation and paid a whole bunch of fines, nominal fines, nothing enormous, there was a class action lawsuit against them for want of a better phrase, Bosco, this is a bit bold, but they screwed over a whole bunch of people who were borrowing money. The class action lawsuit was dismissed because the judge said, well, you know, the banks are interconnected, but they aren't competitive. My goodness.
Oh,
I mean, you know, as we'd like to say, Bosco, that's like going into the judge of a bank robber and saying, you know, the bank robber didn't speed to and from the bank robbery, so he's not guilty. And the judge would say, oh, yes, well, there you go. So now we're starting to see gross misconduct in the legal system. So now you're starting to see a legal system that has been hijacked. Okay, so now let's talk about the Globe, and let's talk about the dire situation that we're in, okay? We will talk about, as Bosco made reference to a week or two ago, about we've talked about today, the paper market versus the real market. In India, they are rushing to buy as much gold as they can, and here we are as well. I mean, that's simple. We are now starting, the powers that be are now starting to put into place rules and regulations that say they can come and steal your money in the bank. Let me say that again, Bosco. They're putting rules in place that say they can come and take your money out of the bank, out of your bank account. Now, historically, that has not been allowed, and now they're doing this because the measures by which they're trying to manage the economy, everybody knows, are not working. So now they're going, well, let's just go and steal people's money to pay off our debt as opposed to print money. So let's follow through a couple of steps here. This is quite nasty news, Bosco, but it certainly shouldn't come as a surprise to anybody. The dollar is losing its reserve currency status. Everybody in the globe, ladies and gentlemen, historically, since the end of the Second World War, has transacted in U.S. dollars. This is starting to leave. That's because people are starting to recognize that if you print an infinite amount of money, the dollars will be as much worth as much as monopoly money. There's an enormous loss in confidence in the U.S. economy, and that is we're now starting to see that in cities and states in the United States are going bankrupt. Literally, cities and states are going bankrupt. Stockton in California is going bankrupt. There's cities in on the eastern seaboard that are going bankrupt as well. There are also states in the Union, in the state of the Union, that are looking to authorize gold as a currency. And in fact, some already have, I believe. I believe Utah has, Bosco, and I think others are certainly looking at it. So they're, because they start to realize that history, 99% of the history that we know about has had either gold as a currency or paper with gold backing of it as a currency. So really, history does sort of give us some insight into all this.
Yeah, Jeff, just to cut in for a second, just hold that thought. I know that I read recently there is not only a few states, there's, last I heard, I think that there was like almost 20 states that are looking to institute gold and silver as currency. So this is almost half of all the states in the United States. A lot of them are following the lead of Utah.
Well, and that's very prescient, Bosco, because it tells that the individuals that we're speaking to actually get that gold needs to be the backing for a currency system. And the U.S. dollar, the Feds have been printing money to the tune of $1 trillion a year in order to facilitate what is not working anymore.
Right.
And that's trying to increase the velocity of the money and trying to tell everybody everything's going to be okay. So now we've got the dollar losing its reserves currency status. We've got China right now going, oh my, people aren't buying our money, so they're buying our products. So their economy is starting to slow quite dramatically. And this is only what they tell us, Bosco, as you well know. They tend to keep their cards pretty close to the chest. You've got Spain with the highest unemployment rate in all of the European economy, European Union, and that is starting to drag precariously. You've got Angela Merkel, the woman who runs Germany. They're starting to look at her askance. They're starting to look at her as, do you have things in hand? The irony in all of this, Bosco, is they are plummeting to the ground as fast as they can, and they're starting to realize that people aren't buying their lies. This is like the Joe Isuzu character from the ads a little year, several years ago. Do you remember those, Bosco, where the guy went, yeah, it gets 800 miles to the gallon. Yeah, it's only $100. Yeah, I mean, he's making a mockery of this, but what does tend to happen, Bosco, is that if we don't open up our eyes and we allow them to scam us yet again, we are complicit. We are complicit. We turn the other way. We say, yeah. What can we do? Well, guess what? There is something you can do. You can pay attention. So we've got Bitcoin, Bosco, which is an attempt, and probably not a poorly intended intent, to create a currency, because there is a huge distrust in the other currencies on the planet, predominantly the U.S. dollar. So, color me curious, Bosco. Does this sound like a perfect storm? This is a financial political currency storm, like Hurricane Sandy, which hit New York just a little while ago, right?
It's unbelievable.
Robotics look at it and just go, good grief.
Yeah.
So,
Jeff, what do you think? When a city or a state goes bankrupt, I imagine that the policemen and the firemen in there, what happens to their pensions and their salaries and even the garbage men? I mean, they're all paid from the city. Like, I mean, that's a recipe for a massive social unrest. I imagine if you're a policeman and you know that you're not going to get paid or get a pension, you're probably not going to want to do your job, right? So criminals are going to run rampant.
Well, you said something that is most unsettling, Bosco, and very true, and that is when the governments start to say, oh, you won't let us print our way out of debt, you won't let us borrow our way out of debt, how can we go and confiscate our way out of debt? How can we go steal? Oh, Bosco, look over there. There are RRSPs. Oh, look over there. There's the teacher's pension. Oh, look over there. There's the police officers and firefighters' pension plan. Well, it's just sitting there. We know where it is, and they've registered it with us. So then the politicians look at each other knowingly, and they say, dude, we're hooped anyway. They aren't believing this monopoly money deal. Why don't we, well, let's just go in and take it and tell them it's for their own good. So, yeah, Bosco, I'm unfortunately, as we said at the beginning of the program, I'm in this mindset that says, rats, I didn't want this to happen. Phooey, we saw it coming. Silly on us that we haven't been singing this tune for decades rather than merely years. And yes, it's coming. Yes, they're going to go steal it. Yes, there's going to be a position where everybody's pension is in jeopardy. You know, as somebody whom we pay attention to a little while ago, Jim Sinclair said a little while ago, go and get your RSPs out. Put it into something that will preserve your wealth. Bosco, you know, there's two sides of this. And one is, this is good. The government and thieves and politicians and banks are going to have their day of reckoning. And the bad side of this is we will all suffer as a result of it, which gives everybody great trepidation.
It's not a pretty picture, I mean, but it is reality, Jeff. I know a number of my clients attended Jim Sinclair's meeting in Toronto of, I think it was last week or 2 weeks ago, and he said there was at least 400 or 500 people in the audience. He had two meetings. And he told people there. People asked him about the RSPs, and he said, "You better start making plans to get out." He told people to cash out of their RSPs because exactly what you just explained, that's what's coming. And I hope that there's some by some miracle that somehow they could turn the tide and things start changing. But I mean, folks. this isn't a scare tactic, but you need to rethink your entire retirement strategy and get yourself some physical gold and silver, or at least get out of the markets. And I don't know, even if buying real estate would be safe enough, but you never know. It's hard to say. It's pretty scary out there right now, at least for to be a long-term investor, because you don't know what the changes are coming. It might not be that the market might not come down, but you know, when the government is squeezed, you know, like Jeff says, they're going to go after the money that's available to them, and retirement funds and pensions are what's available to them, and they're going to add new rules or new regulations or restrictions on your funds that are in retirement. So I discuss it with people almost on a daily basis. People are looking to get out and, you know, pay the government your taxes. A lot of people in the industry, they call it, whether, you know, financial planners or accountants or whatever, they call it a penalty. Well, I think that's the wrong word. It's not really a penalty, because the tax dollars that you benefit from when you contribute to your retirement plan, you know, those same tax dollars are due back to the government when you start taking cash out. So it's not really a penalty. Yeah, yeah, it's just postponed.
It's just postponed the payments of your tax, right?
Yeah. Well, the risk that you have, though, folks, is that, you know, they are still in control, because your money is registered, right? So they're still in control of your funds, and they can change the rules about how you can take those funds out. So, and of course, they're going to raise taxes in the future. I mean, they never stop doing that, but, you know, it's just, I don't know. It's time to make some serious changes. That's all I can say.
Well, I think, you know, as Bosco just said, ladies and gentlemen, I think one of the things that we've often spoke of, and we will continue to, and that is, in all fairness, a blind man on a galloping horse can see that the governments really don't care about the constituents. They merely care about remaining in power, so that they can, you know, for want of a better phrase, rape and pillage and steal from you. And they, how they will couch it, because they're already trying to put legislation in place that says, should the economy be in need, we will come and steal your money. So it is naive of us to think that they will take care of us. And it's also naive of us to think that the pension funds and the pensions that we've diligently worked for will ever be realized. And this isn't a statement we say lightly. It's not also a statement that we say without verity, without truth. But I mean, as we talked, remember Bosco, we talked about the Greek who had a 3,200 euro payment, and instead of the retired Greek went 3,200, and then it went to 2,500, then it went to 2,000. It's now at 300. It's going to disappear, and his whole modus operandi is, the government owes me. Well, guess what? I mean, that's wake up and smell the coffee. This is an important time, ladies and gentlemen, because the sociology of many and most of the countries that run in terms of the economic and the first world countries, if you will, Bosco, right? They've been telling a lie that they, the government, will take care of you. And what is mind-boggling is that this guy in Greece is still looking to the government to take care of him rather than becoming self-reliant. Self-reliance is very important. Self-reliance is, I can see that you're telling me lies. Self-reliance is, I am going to take action in order to secure my safety, my family's safety, my community's safety.
Mm-hmm.
Ladies and gentlemen, have you had your teenagers show up at night and say at 14 or 15 or 16, well, I was late because yabba dabba 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 da, and you're listening to them going, right, I get that you're not telling me the truth. Well, guess what? The governments, the courts, the banks have all been lying through their teeth to you for decades. Decades, decades. Maybe Bosco forever, when they know that they can steal your money, right?
Yeah.
Is it time?
Yeah.
Is it time to pay attention to these lies?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you know, we keep mentioning self-reliance on this program, and I mean, it seems to me that people were much more self-reliant, you know, 40, 50 years ago. You know, now people have become so dependent on just looking at the food industry. I mean, there's so many fast food restaurants and restaurants, period, and, you know, very rarely do you see people growing their own food, or it seems like there's less farmers. Nobody's interested in being a farmer anymore. You know, it's, you know, this is affecting the food supply, and, you know, people, when they get hungry, that's when they get angry. You know, it's, I don't know, it's definitely a cause for concern, and I mean, I got a number of clients, too, that are, you know, they're, you know, making changes and getting more self-reliant, getting gardens and doing things to, you know, to not depend on everybody and government and so on. But it's, you know, you mentioned that the problem, I think, Jeff, of what's happening is, you know, people might want to be self-reliant, but they don't know how, and they're not awake. They're, because they've been, I guess, brainwashed for so long, they're just accustomed to, you know, just going down to the fast food place and getting their food instead of, you know, cooking at home or having a garden and eating your own vegetables, or that goes in line with managing your own money. You know, I'll just give it to the bank. They'll or the government, they'll take care of it for me. And, you know, but I think what's the reason why people are not more self-reliant is, you know, maybe the brainwashing of the TV and who knows what, but it just, doesn't look good.
Well, let's plug in a bit, Bosco, to the ideal of people sort of taking care of themselves and collectively honoring the other. Let's take a picture and let's take a scene of Bob the farmer. He's out and he raises cattle and he raises grain, and he lives on his farm, but he lives close to a village. And once a week, he brings his wares to the village fair. And this has happened all throughout Europe, and this doesn't happen as much in Canada, although the farmer's market is demonstrative of this. But in Europe, it's been going on for a long time. So Bob, something happened. A cow kicked over a lantern, Bosco, and the barn burned down. So the barn burned down, and he managed to catch it so all of his animals weren't, or maybe he didn't. Maybe he didn't, and all the animals died in his barn blaze. So the community goes, Bob's part of our community. What can we do? Bosco, can you bring some lumber? I'll bring a dozen men, and we'll go get three or four other members here, and we'll build Bob a new barn. And Bosco, can you give him a cow, and I'll go give him some chickens for him. You know, there's this collaborative approach to helping things out. Mm-hmm. So now this is the old way of as go we, so go I. Bob's best interest, Bosco, and your best interest is mine. I care about providing and being cooperative in a situation that takes care of everybody. This is where things will go after the collapse. So now let's paint the picture of where we are now. Okay? So now let's imagine the financial instrument market. Here's what it happens. Bob has a barn, and he goes to the insurance company and he says, I would like to buy insurance for the barn in case it burns down. And so the insurance company says, okay, well, you give me $10 a month or $20 a month, just like your car insurance, ladies and gentlemen. You give me $10 or $20 a month, and if your barn burns down, we'll pay you for the damage that the fire creates. So Bob feels comfortable and safe, and he continues to pay those premiums, and sure enough, his barn burns down. Well, in the ideal situation, the insurance company says, here is your money for the barn, and Bob gets the money and rebuilds the barn. That's easy. That's simple, right, Bosco? Huh? So now let's talk about the evils of the derivative market. The derivative market, ladies and gentlemen, is $1 quadrillion. So that would be $1,000 trillion. And the derivative market is this. Bob has a barn. Bob insures the barn. And that insurance on the barn, other people buy insurance on the insurance. And so they go to the insurance company and say, effectively, we want to buy insurance on Bob's barn as well. Well, sure enough, as this financial instrument grows and morphs and mutates, not unlike cancer, Bosco, now all of a sudden, ladies and gentlemen, we have 50 or 500 people who go to the insurance company and say, Bob's barn burned down. I want to be paid.
Right.
Now the insurance company goes, oh, well, Bob's barn is worth $50,000. Now I have to pay 500 times. I can't. I'm bust. So not only does Bob not get paid, nobody else gets paid, and all of these financial instruments start to implode. Yeah. So now, bring it into context of gold. There's a paper market in gold, ladies and gentlemen, that is hundreds and hundreds and hundreds of times, or thousands of times, or tens of thousands of times the size of the real gold market. And the manipulators of that market are trying to control the price of gold. And guess what? There's no gold.
Mm-hmm.
There's a shortage of it. And as soon as they have to deliver on that, they're either going to bankrupt the system or destroy the system, which we've talked about for months and months and months, or the price of gold relative to the paper and relative to the currencies it's denominated in go up, and the system collapses on itself.
Yeah. No, I mean, there's a good chance, let people know how the price of gold is decided. I mean, it's based on the paper market right now that the price discovery mechanism is at the COMEC. And there's a good chance that the COMEC might lose that recognition or authority to be the price discovery exchange. Hong Kong has a new gold and silver exchange, as well as I think there's one in Shanghai too. And, you know, they could lose, along with, you know, what you mentioned earlier, that the U.S. dollar loses its reserve currency status. If that happens, you know, the COMEX could lose its authority as a price discovery institution for gold and silver, and it might go somewhere else. So, I mean, that all goes hand in hand, folks. All commodities, just a side note, all commodities are traded, like, internationally in U.S. dollars because the U.S. dollar is a reserve currency status. So any gold, silver, oil, soybeans, corn, and so on, it's all traded in U.S. dollars, and then whenever another country wants to purchase or whatever, they convert it into their domestic currency. So once the U.S. dollar loses that reserve currency status, I mean, it's going to change everything, what prices are in commodities across the board. So, I mean, this is serious problem.
Well, and let's also go back, Bosco, to what we talked about earlier in the program, and that is there is coming to light, thank goodness, because we've been talking about it forever, there is coming to light manipulation of the markets. First, LIBOR, remember that one, $500 trillion. Then the interest rate swaps. Remember, I just explained that on the barn. That's $379 trillion. And now they're investigating gold and silver traders. What comes to light, Bosco, over and over again is they're starting to see that as the COMEC you were talking about, and as these various exchanges dance and play with these multi-billion or multi-trillion or multi-quadrillion numbers, It's coming to light that a very few people control these markets in collusion with one another. So Now the powers that be are calling these people up and saying, do not let the price of gold go up, because that is not good for us. Who's us, Bosco? That would be the 0.001% or 0.00001% who undertake to try to steal the wealth from everybody else.
Yep.
Sounds a bit suspicious to me, Bosco.
Sounds devious. I mean, yeah, folks. You have to understand that the people, gold is a barometer Essentially, it is money, but more or less, it's a barometer of the condition of the economic situation globally. The higher the price of gold goes, you can bet that the financial system and economies in general are having serious problems. And, we've seen it in the past 13 years. Gold is going up and up and up. And, this minor little correction that we have here is
a buying opportunity.
Yeah, it's huge. I mean,
gold rush can't buy it because there isn't any.
Yeah.
Wow.
I think there's possibly a time coming in the near future where, you won't even be able to buy any gold. People, it just won't be available. And the miners are going to be so busy trying to refine it that, the only people that will be able to buy it are people that are going to buy directly from the mine itself. And because, I'm seeing it firsthand. There's a squeeze on the warehouses. There are delays. And, a couple of weeks ago, silver maples weren't even available. The one warehouse wasn't even booking prices. They wouldn't accept any orders for silver at all, because they weren't sure of the supply.
There's several weeks delay, and there's something that the general population knows, or just the pragmatic prudence of, my parents seem to think it's a good idea. Maybe I should just be on the safe side, and hopefully we have it in a way that creates a mindset that delivers prudence. Go and buy some.
Yeah.
So, Bosco, I am mindfully here, ladies and gentlemen, to turn the lights on, as is Bosco. We are also disappointed that what we have been, we wanted, the optimist in Bosco and myself, didn't want this to happen, but the inevitability of it was undeniable. As I said before, a blind man on a galloping horse could see this coming.
Yeah.
And we don't ever want to say, I told you so, but we have been swinging this flag pretty hard and pretty loud for some time. And that is part of our objective here. One is to sell you precious metals. On one hand, to secure your future and to safeguard your wealth. But the other is to turn the lights on. One of the things that I find very egregious, and certainly one of the things that I teach in university and teach in other places in the world, as Bosco knows, is there's an aspect of self-reliance here that is absolutely vital. This is your life. Do not assume that they, the powers that be, whether it be the government, whether it be the banks, whether it be anybody who have and manipulate your wealth, are in it for anybody but themselves. This is a horrific statement, because we would like to think that mankind is a little more cooperative, collaborative, and collective. They do realize that by doing this, it's going to work against them in the end. There is a certain aspect of selfishness to this that makes both Bosco and I want to throw up. And forgive that. Forgive that visual, ladies and gentlemen. But yes.
Jeff, I think this is one of those things that it's just a matter of taking the medicine. I think that, we are, in the short term, rough times are ahead. But ultimately, I think, that mankind will come to its senses and will begin to prosper again. And, we've been through rough times before, and I think we'll get through this. It just, I'd like to see more people get prepared, and so that it doesn't affect you too severely. So with that, folks, I think we're going to call it a day. Jeff, any closing comments? Jeff?
Oh, sorry, boss. I had myself on mute. Sorry about that.
Ladies and gentlemen, any closing comments?
I do. As always, ladies and gentlemen, we both, Bosco and I, are very grateful that we're here. to be able to turn the lights on for you and trust that the messages and certainly the expose that we carry around from time to time is useful for you. And we trust that this calamity, which is accelerating, I would venture to say unequivocally that this calamity is accelerating. It's gaining momentum, and the collapse is, we're in the middle of it, and it will not slow down. Things are getting worse and worse and worse on one hand, and that means they're getting better and better and better because they're moving towards a resolution that we trust will be beneficial to everybody as opposed to sacrificial to those of us who are not in alignment with the bankers and politicians. With that, Bosco, we will bid you adieu, and we shall chat again next week.
Okay, thanks for joining us, Jeff. Folks, have a good weekend, and we'll see you again next week here on Gold Radio Cafe at Friday at noon. Thank you. Have a good day.